once again, I want to say thank you to everybody for being here with us today. I love to see people at church and the family of God. Is it because I have something to say that will be life-changing? Now, I might, but that's not why I think that I want to see you all here today. I think it thrills the heart of God for His children to get together and celebrate, fellowship, visit with each other, sharpen each other's iron. I believe God loves that. Amen? And so I'm thrilled that we're in church together. And if you're watching, I'm glad that you're here as well. And so I pray that today the Word of God and the Spirit of God will both work and grow us and challenge us a little bit and remind us of things, hopefully, that will not only impact our life, but the lives of those around us. Amen? All right. Well, I'm going to start with Genesis 12:1, and I'll tell you a story before we get to that. I have not too long ago, I got a Fitbit watch, one of those little Fitbit watches. Who has a Fitbit watch of some sort? All right. Well, I thought it might help me lose some weight. Now, I know what you're thinking, Pastor, you don't need to lose weight. I know, I appreciate that too, but no. Keith is like, no. No, I got a little Fitbit watch to help me lose weight. Now, the interesting thing about this, it's kind of interesting and sometimes annoying. It lets you know when you've sat too long. I feel a little buzz vibrate on my wrist, and I look at it all excited because, hey, somebody's texting me or something. It says, you've been sitting at your desk for an hour. Yeah, I have work to do, Mr. Fitbit. And then when I get up and go walk and do something, it vibrates again and says, good job, you're active again. It does, it really does. So I was in the office the other day, and I get up, somebody leaves donuts in the church offices. I know. It's like, get thee behind me, donut. So I get up and I'm hungry and I make it down the hallway. About halfway down the hallway to get my donut, my watch vibrates and I look at it and says, good job, you're active. And I'm like, getting donuts is healthy again. I love this watch. I've not been losing any weight, but I'm so happy. losing weight is one of those uphill things. It's one of those things that, to be honest, I started to title this sermon, Becoming Comfortable with the Uncomfortable. But I was afraid if somebody found out what I was calling it, that they wouldn't attend. Genesis 12:1 says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Become comfortable with the uncomfortable. Now, no worries. This isn't a sermon about how we should endure tough things, hardships, difficulties in life. It's actually more about how we should embrace the uncomfortable challenges placed before you to grow your relationship with God and your impact on mankind. In other words, what is your response when bad things happen? When you go through tough times? When you feel like you're halfway uphill? What's your response? Because I believe that spiritual growth happens when we obediently accept the challenges of uncomfortable situations that often take place when we are following God's will. Just like when Peter got out of the boat, Peter could have stayed in the same boat as the rest of the disciples and still made it to heaven. but he got out of the boat. He didn't do it quite as well as Jesus, but I can't say anybody else that I know of that walked on water. And I believe that experiencing discomfort forces us to move. Not only does God stretch us and grow us through these uncomfortable experiences, but he's often able to change somebody's world when we get in our lives in that position. Let me read you some examples. Remember Abram in Genesis 12. We just read that. God tells him to leave pretty much everything that he knows. The culture, his family, his land, where he grew up, where he's been living, where he's been working, the sheep or the goats that he has, whatever he's doing. God says, I want you to leave all of that. Where do you want me to go, Lord? He said, I'll tell you when we get there. The only thing he knew is that God was going to be with him. That is an uncomfortable situation. That is a discomfort, right? But Abram accepted that challenge. He accepted that discomfort and that friction and that pressure that was applied to him. And later we read in verse 3, God says, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Moses was like that too at the burning bush. God calls him to free his people. Moses said basically three things. He said, who am I? And then he said, well, God, what if they don't listen to me? And then he says, I am a terrible speaker. I stutter. Always have been. In other words, God, that's out of my comfort zone. But he obeyed. He embraced the discomfort. And you know what happened after that? Freed a nation, became one of the greatest leaders of mankind. One of my favorite military leaders is Gideon. I love reading about that guy. Well, when he first started, an angel appeared to Gideon and said this in Judges 6. Go in this, your strength, and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midian. And he says, oh, I think you've got the wrong guy. That's way out of my comfort zone. He says, who am I? I'm from the most insignificant family in the most insignificant town, pretty much. That's out of my comfort zone. But he eventually embraced the discomfort and became a great warrior and one of the world's greatest military leaders, in my opinion. We call him a GOAT, greatest of all time, for you sports guys and gals. Jesus also did this. Think about this. He willingly embraced the most uncomfortable situation to benefit all mankind towards God. We can read in Matthew 26:38. Jesus said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Now, in these examples, and there's plenty of them in our scriptures, we kind of learn this. When we abandon our comfort and our normalcy, and we embrace the friction that God's will often includes, God can literally change the world we live in. God can literally change the world we live in. Become bendable or pliable. I was reading a book the other day, and he was telling about this pastor friend of his, the author was, and he's experiencing a great revival at his church right now. And he asked him about how that was going. He said, the reason that happened is because I changed something that I pray. I began to pray constantly. I began to pray, God, make me bendable. I thought, well, that's interesting. Make me bendable. It reminds me of Psalms 37, 4 and 5. Get this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. The word delight, if you'll look at that, delight yourself in the Lord. The word delight comes from the Hebrew word onog, and it means soft or pliable. Now, actually, we get a little bit different feeling about this verse now that we know that. And it almost makes more sense. It says, be soft and pliable. Be bendable to the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Are we bendable when we pray? I begin to think about that. Do I even allow room in my prayer life for pliability in my life? It's in other words, it's easy. One of the things we've been doing is praying for the 10:40 window. God, send out laborers into your field of harvest. And now that's a pretty easy one. But if I am to pray that bendable, I will add in there, and Lord, if it's me, send me. Bendable, pliable. When we get comfortable with the uncomfortable, we begin to separate ourselves from our own desires and wills and begin to concede to God's wills. We begin to operate less in our own process and more in His, leaving what we are comfortable with for the benefit of others is literally a summary of the life of Jesus, who we are to follow. Jesus could have stayed comfortable as he wanted to. I mean, he lived in heaven. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. Now, there are times in my life I think about the scripture and I'm like, I'm supposed to walk in these good works and I'm your workmanship. But Lord, this walk is uphill both ways. Have you ever told your kids that? Sometimes it snows waist deep. Uphill both ways. Shouldn't I be experiencing some comfort or some ease right now? God, how long do I need to pastor to kind of get it down so that it's a lot easier on me? Yes, I'm reading my own mail today, John. Am I really on the right path? You know that if you find yourself on a path that's heading uphill, doesn't necessarily mean you're on the wrong path. Sometimes you may face discomfort, and get this, sometimes it may be divinely designed to help you grow. Whoa, Pastor Jeff, I don't know. Maybe that's not a good idea. I don't like that very much. It's a little uncomfortable. Yes, it is. But why is it that that very same logic works with everything? It makes total sense when it comes to anything else in life. For instance, if you're in school or in college, and they give you a test and they give you homework, that is pressure applied to you so that you will get better, so that you will get smarter. You take that test. You get put under pressure to do that. When you want to change your physical condition, you want to lose weight, you want to be more healthy, whatever it is, and there's some things you're going to have to do that's not that great, that's not that fun. You can't eat anything else that tastes good ever. What is with that, Kevin? Why does that? What's the deal there? If it tastes good, it's bad for you. Don't eat it anymore. No, but you're going to have to do things that's going to make you sore, make you sweat. By the way, sweat leaving the body is the tears of fat. leaving the body. Fat is crying. That's what. But that's pressure and friction applied to your body to help you lose weight, to help you get in better condition, to help you be more healthy. When you learn to play an instrument, sometimes you have to play until your fingers are sore. You have to spend time in rehearsal. I started playing the fiddle a long time ago, and it seems to be, you know, you just, you know, I tried teaching somebody to do it, some kids, and I'm not any good at teaching. I can play fiddle a little bit, but I'm not any good at teaching. I apologize for that, for those parents that say, won't you? Anyway, so, but I tried teaching someone, and it was almost like they were trying to be contortionists, and they were like, it was weird, you know, it's like, dude, just, and it's not natural. But there's things about learning how to play an instrument. You're going to have to apply that pressure, that friction, and that time. It makes complete sense in almost every area of life. But when we experience hardships in our life or our finances, we're like, whoa, I don't think this is what's supposed to happen. I have a favorite preacher on YouTube, and it doesn't seem like my life is as good as his. I think I'm doing something wrong. Sometimes the culture that some of us probably grew up in was, you really, a good Christian is going to be healthy all the time and not have any family problems and never be sick. Right? Kind of, sort of. You know, it's kind of, that was never said outright, but sometimes we kind of get that feeling. Let me tell you something. Sometimes life is uphill a little bit. God understands that. Why don't we face these hardships in the same light? When pressure is applied, even if it's my own pressure, what I need to do is stop, get comfortable with my relationship with God, begin to take the steps that He designates for me to take, and He will work it out. He can fix the situation. Instead of, human nature says, I start worrying. I start imagining all of the scenarios that need to take place that are never going to happen. Sometimes I get angry. I get frustrated. It affects my attitude. I start living in fear, maybe even depressed, and I complain a lot. And that is not the correct response that God wants you to. Because at that point, you are trying to take care of your situation instead of allowing God to take care of it. That's not trust, and it's not faith in God. But we know that He wants to, because Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love the Lord and that are called to His purpose. James 1, 2, and 4 says this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Shouldn't this be easier by now, Lord? What's going on? Have I messed up? I got to thinking, I figure Paul's ministry in the Bible was pretty successful. Very few people, I think, probably have a ministry more successful than Paul's, right? And I can imagine, I got to thinking about the discomforts that he went to. He's been shipwrecked more than once, beaten more than once, thrown in jail more than once. I can see Paul at some point saying, God, does this not get any easier at some point? It makes me feel a wee bit spoiled, I'll be honest with you. Because I can lose two or three games of solitaire in a row and said, God, I prayed today. What's 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says this, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, so that the proof of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God will use that very thing that may be giving you discomfort in your life to enhance your abilities to be successful and do what he has called you to do ultimately. Let me give you an example of that. Satan used death in hopes of defeating Jesus Christ. Jesus used that very same death to have ultimate victory over Satan. That very same death. Maybe we should be learning less about how to make life easier and more about how to start viewing our uphills in a positive way in the light of the gospel or in the light of the kingdom. Maybe we have an incorrect understanding of the phrase abundant life when Jesus said, I've come to give you an abundant life. I'm just saying, think about that. Perspective. What lens are we seeing our trials through? And sometimes we see hardships and difficulties. We see it as a sign of failure. I don't feel like I'm living like my life isn't like the people that I know, the good Christians I see on Facebook. It doesn't seem like my life is that easy. What's going on? And I begin to feel bad about it. I'm not faithful enough to be healed. I'm not good enough, Lord, to have prosperity. I'm not disciplined enough to escape all these troubles I'm going through. I must have missed it somewhere. I've done something wrong, Lord. I'm sorry. Whatever I did, show me what I've done wrong. I need to do this better. Have you ever thought that? Yeah, me too. But maybe it's just because I've been conditioned in my culture to view hardships and difficulties as a bad thing, as if I've got sin in my life. Maybe in the light of the gospel or in light of the kingdom of God, hardships signify that I'm actually on the right path doing something good. Bam! Nailed it. Think about that. What if we just have a different perspective of it? I have a picture I want to show you. I saw this, and I was reminded of this picture when I started studying this sermon. Look at this perspective. First place, she's crying. I thought that was funny. Perspective. What's your perspective of what you're going through? Now, let me balance it out a bit, because I want to flip the coin over, because I don't want anybody to use my words incorrectly or what I'm not trying to get, because I know that we all have different, varying definitions of uphill and difficulties and discomforts, probably due to the circumstances that we're currently in. So I want to flip the coin over and look at this. I'm not advocating taking every negative thing that happens in your life and just saying, well, it must be God's will. I'm just going to hang out until I die. Well, doctor said I have cancer. I'm just going to, sit here and do nothing. That's not what I'm talking about either. That's not embracing the friction. That's just giving into it. There's a difference. I don't think in our uphill walk with God, he ever wants us to step off of the path and set up a tent and a lawn chair and just camp out there until something happens. I don't think that's the case either. I'm not advocating that. But I believe God is telling us through Scripture that there is another way to view our situation. Sometimes our way, the human nature way, simply makes sense of it every way that we know that it makes sense. But sometimes God is like, no, remember, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. I need for you to put your trust in me so that I can get us out of this situation. What is your relationship with your Father going to look like when you get to the top of this uphill walk? Now, there may be some out there that will say, oh, great, another sermon about how the Christian life is a pain in the neck and all I got to do is just take it. But it's actually the opposite is what I want to get across today. It's very much the opposite. Because here's the deal. Pains in the neck happen. They're going to happen. Contrary to what you see on Facebook or social media, everybody goes through hard times. Everybody has problems that they're praying about or worrying about or stressing about. It happens. Pains in the neck, uphill climbs, they're just going to happen. Because here's the deal. People do rotten things. People do rotten things to each other sometimes. Don't quote me on this one, but sometimes Christians do rotten things to others. And sometimes we just make mistakes and cause rotten things to happen to ourselves. But God, in His mercy, reaches down and loves us right where we are because we are His children and He is a God who saves. That gets rid of a lot of stress and worry. So now, by viewing my uphill path in the light of God's love and affection, I remove my own will and I allow God to work His will through me, positively perfecting me. Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me ask you three questions. In whom is a good work being done? Yeah, right. Me and you. All of us. Who began this work? God did. Yeah, God did. Who is the one perfecting that work? Right. Who should keep their hands off that work then? Ha ha! Gotcha! See, a follower of Jesus Christ can afford to have a different perspective of the problems that they're experiencing in life than the world can, because we're confident in our condition. We're confident in our eternal condition. James 1 and 2 says, consider it a joyous occasion, actually. Jesus says in John 16:33, He said, now I'm telling you these things because you're going to have tribulation in the world. Trust me, it's just going to happen. But be of good cheer, or take courage, take heart. I have overcome the world. And He says, you're never going to be alone. Matthew 28:20, I will never leave you alone. Paul said many times, but in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all things. Because there's always going to be another mountain. I'm always going to want to make it move. There's going to be enough. Nobody? I figured we'd break out in song right there. Sorry. There are going to be uphill climbs. But I serve a God that loves me. He will never leave me and make sure that all things are working towards my benefit. So in that case, I will not harbor guilt or shame or fear or anger or hate or stress, but I will consider this uphill walk that I'm on right now as part of my growth and growing my relationship with my Father God. God may be telling us a couple of things. Number one is this: if you will just hang on, if you will keep going, if you'll begin to become more positive and thankful about the situation that you're in, we will get through this together. We just got to keep going. God may be telling you this too: son, daughter, I cannot drive this car if you're going to keep both hands on the steering wheel. Come on, somebody, talk to me. I can't drive this car if you keep both hands on the steering wheel. So if you would, stand with me, please. Let's pray a prayer together. Pray something like this, if you would. Just agree with me in this prayer. Father God, I am willing to become comfortable with the uncomfortable. I accept this uphill journey that I'm on right now, and I am going to be bendable to your will, not mine. And as I pray that you send laborers into the harvest fields, what field do you want me to work in today? God, I'm grateful for your calling on each of us to be a part of this family. I'm grateful for the calling that you've given each of us, no matter how different it is, to be an example to other people around us and to spread your love, to spread the gospel. And I thank you that you are always there with us to get us through these uphill paths and these discomforts. And God, I pray that you would give us strength to get through all of the things that we have to go through sometimes, but help us to see it positively. Help us to have a great, godly, kingdom-like attitude about everything that happens in our life. And God, as we now gather together in the gym, we're going to eat some spaghetti today, God, and I want to say thank you for this food that you have provided, for those that have helped prepare it. I want to say thank you for the money raised so we can do some things with the children's ministry. And we're going to use this meal today as a type of communion where we sit down with each other and we talk. We remember you. And we remember that you are coming once again to take us home. You will be back. And we are excited to be in eternity with you in heaven. And we're also excited to do some beneficial stuff for the kingdom of God right here on earth. So I thank you, Lord. We eat lunch together today in your name and for your purpose. And God, we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.